You're listening to the Music Manumit podcast for July 10th, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com.
Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I'm Tom, and with me is Doug.
Hello, world.
Hello. And we also have a guest today. We are talking to Johan from 23 Seconds. I guess I'd like to start off by saying, why don't you tell everyone a little about yourself and what you're doing here exactly?
What I'm doing here? Well, you call me.
This is very true.
I think what Tom's asking is, tell us a little bit about 23 about Seconds.
About 23 Seconds, yeah. Well, we're a so-called net label based in Gothenburg in Sweden. And, well, we've been releasing free music since 2006.
That long, really?
Well, yeah. Nice. Yeah, we started by the end of 2006 with our first release.
Yeah, it says on the website you have 35 hours of music that have been released. That's a lot of music.
Yeah, it's like 62 releases, I think.
Ah.
So, well... what more can I tell? Well, we release, unlike many other net labels, and I would say record labels as well, we try to release music from a lot of different genres. But if someone asks what kind of music, I would say we're mainly into electronic pop music, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have hip-hop, rock, trip-hop, techno, twee-pop. So as long as it's a good melody, we try to... release it.
And, cool.
And yeah,
do you
we do it with like no commercial interests. It's sort of a hobby for fun or something.
Yeah. And so when you say we, is there more than you involved in the label?
Well, yeah, there are a couple of other guys, even if it's mainly run by me and Jesper. Well. Every time we do something new, add a new artist or something, I always have a discussion with Jesper, and sometimes we ask the other guys as well, but it's me and Jesper mainly.
So do you seek out this music, or do people come to you, or, I mean, how do you find the music that you end up putting on the website and releasing?
Well, that has changed during the years, and nowadays... most of our music are sent to us as a demo, or what you would call it.
Yeah. It kind of like the nature of becoming more and more popular, I would assume. Instead of, you know, when you started out, nobody knew who you were. Now you probably have people contacting you, correct?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say. The idea of starting something began like a year before the net label.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of friends started to bring their own CDRs, demo CDRs, to house parties and stuff.
Hmm.
And yeah, to get some feedback, and like it was some really good stuff. And some people sent me songs on the internet. So after a while, I decided to, why not try to create a website? And I did, and wrote about the artist and put up some free MP3s. Not as a label, but, sort of a website. And after a while, I decided to like copy the labels with a catalog. And so we decided to release our friend Dynamo 414 from Gothenburg. And we put up like an EP in a zip file with covers and stuff and gave it SEC 001. So sort of. I guess 23 Seconds was born when we did that first release. So, but yeah, and after a while, we started with friends, releasing friends' music, and after a while, friends of friends, and like the word was spread, you know.
Now, so, was this always released under Creative Commons when you first started out, or is that something you adapted over time?
Well, when we started, from I didn't know anything about Creative Commons, But after a couple of weeks, when we have released Dynamo 414, I guess I must have seen other related sites that use this Creative Commons thing. And since we have decided that our music was supposed to be free, we thought, yeah, this sounds good. And after a while, I also noticed that it was a really good tool to reach people. Like today, there are a lot of people playing our music in podcasts because we use Creative Commons license. So
right.
So it was kind of from the beginning, but yeah.
So it was the intention of what the license actually does that you were already doing it for the most part.
Well, it was like connected with our idea of please spread the music and
right,
and that's what Creative Commons is about. Well, it's about more, but that's one big part of it. So it felt kind of natural. And also that other net labels used it. So actually, I didn't know. When I started 20 Seconds and we released Dynamo 414, we didn't call ourselves a net label because, well, I have never heard the word. And when I found sites that were kind of the same, I realized, oh, I guess we have a net label here. So
exactly, yeah. When we started doing the show and talking to people, when we first talked to net labels, I kind of even had to ask, like, okay, so what's a net label as compared to a website, and you know, just talking about that. And that's so we didn't really have much of an idea of what it was either. You know, I mean, it seemed kind of like it was just, I don't know, like, and that was the thing we were trying to determine is like, is this an MP3 blog or is it a net label? You know, and that was kind of the desertion that we were trying to figure out with some of the people we originally spoke to.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in this case, just for anybody who. I mean, Johan mentioned this, but the downloads that they have like all the art and stuff with them. You know, there's CD covers and everything. So I mean, I think in this particular case, it's very clear that it's a net label. But you know, in some cases, it's not, you know, exactly clear what's going on with them. That's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. I think when people trying to build a identity and like have catalog numbers and well. It's I guess it's a sort of a label when you when you just put up MP3 that you like we know Tension or IDs what you want to do with it, but I guess it's hard to say if you're a label or not, but I guess if you call yourself a label, you are a label. I mean,
that's very true. And I'm looking at the news on the side of the website that you have here, and you guys have been interacting with a lot of different things. I see with Block Sonic, you're on one of the compilations they've done, or what your artists are. And Marco from Reset Radio has featured you guys too. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I always try to when someone is like really putting in a job and doing a podcast or using our music or write a review or something. I think the least I can do is like put a link if. It's sort of saying thanks or something.
Yeah,
I don't think that's not many net labels that have this news thing,
right?
And it's also, well, I guess it's fun for the artist to get into the site and say, oh, that's a review of my latest album or something.
Now, so. do people contact you and go, hey, one of the artists that we saw on your website, we want to put them on our show? I mean, are you being a net label, are you still helping them out after posting their stuff? I guess.
Yeah, we try to. You mean promotion and?
Yeah, because I know that.
Yeah, we try.
I know that Claudio from Bad Panda has really done that with Dumbo at the. I can't remember the name.
Dumbo Gets Mad.
Thank you. With Dumbo Gets Mad, that was the one where he was like, okay, this band, I'm going to promote their album. Like it was his first try at actually like kind of being an online promoter for the band. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, until then, he was just like, you know, if he heard something, he'd pass the news along. I mean, how in depth do you go as far as being a net label for the artist?
Well, we try to promote. That's of course the tricky part because I mean, it's not easy to get your voice heard on the internet. Like,
yeah.
Especially now it's, like we have Spotify and stuff like that. So music is, I mean, we're not unique that you can listen to music for free any longer.
Right.
And you have SoundCloud. Many artists put up their music for free on different sites. So, and it's, I mean, it's hard to compare with everything out there. But we try to, for example, people that have written about us before, we try to send them some mail, and if we have something we think they might like. And same thing with podcasters, try to go into forum and stuff.
That's actually an interesting thing that you.
And it, but I think it depends also. Some artists we promote harder, I guess. I don't know why, but.
But you mentioned before though about SoundCloud and people being able to put up their own music, kind of like that. That's an interesting thought. I mean, do you think that the access of SoundCloud recently is kind of I don't know, kind of going against or not helping out net labels like yourself trying to promote bands, since anybody can just go, oh, I got a SoundCloud account, now I'm going to post a bunch of bands that I found, and they don't even necessarily have to ask the artists or the bands or try and put it under Creative Commons license, or at least, you know, share it that way. I mean, I guess, what are your views on something like that?
Well, I like all sites that people are able to put up their music on. I mean, but I think it's different if you put up your music on, let's say, MySpace or SoundCloud or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like you're floating around. I know artists that have been on those sites, and then after a while they have written to us and said that they sort of want to be in a, what should I say, community or something, like a group with others. I guess it's sort of an identity when you go to a label as well.
I got to tell you, net label people are so polite. That is like the nicest answer you could have given. For every net label that we've talked to, they're all very, I mean, that's the beauty of it. Like, your whole thing is like, I want the music to get out there. So if that's how they're going to do it, that's cool. And we'll still be here. You know, that's the reaction we get from most net labels that we've spoken to.
I should start a net label and just be like the dick label. I'm not going to support anybody else. These are my artists.
Yeah. And just post the one song over and over and over and over again.
No. We're going to have like a conglomerate, make millions of dollars at the expense of everyone else.
Right.
The plan. No.
So, no, but it's, yeah.
Go
sorry.
Ahead.
No, but it's like, it's kind of funny because some of the artists that have ended up on our label, after a while, you noticed on Facebook and etc., Lost FM, that they kind of connect to each other and add each other as friends and have some discussions, which makes the whole thing much, much more fun, if you know what I mean.
Are you on the Google Plus yet?
No,
neither am I.
Hey, this is funny, and Tom is going to hate this, but I think it's funny, because I get score reports here, and I'm not sure how you guys pronounce it, but Gais, G-A-I-S, the Alvinskan team, they just scored a goal. Breaking news from Jotunberg. So, anyway, sorry.
Okay.
I thought that might interest you, Johan. I think long, long ago we discussed you coming on, and I asked which team that you supported. And I don't remember. I kind of remember you saying you didn't really care that much, but it was this team. I get that answer from a lot of people.
Did I say that?
I think so. This was like a long time ago. No, it doesn't sound like something you would have said.
No.
No one cares about your sports, Doug.
I care, Tom.
Oh, so okay. Now back to real stuff.
The reason why that came up is because I get the score report is like this loud cheer through my speakers.
Oh, really?
So it's very irritating. Yeah, when I'm doing the show, and it's irritating a lot of the time, but.
I find it strange that you would keep it, because you're someone who doesn't like to be irritated very often.
Well, I like the score reports, but anyway.
That's important stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very into football, so I know what you mean.
Man. So I'm going to ask a question now. When you were talking about when we were talking about how you just kind of gradually realized, oh, Creative Commons, this is helpful and this is what I, you know, would like to use. What made you choose the particular license that you decided to go with once you finally chose the license?
Well, for a long period we used NCND.
Mhm.
I guess that was the most common license,
right,
on other net labels. And I also think it kind of felt easier to explain and convince the artist to release the music with this license, and yeah, it's a bit limited license compared to the one we use now.
Right.
But I don't know. It just felt good. But nowadays we always ask the artist which license they prefer and try to describe Creative Commons as well if they don't know about it. But we also mentioned that we prefer NCSA, which allows people to remix it and stuff like that. And, it was John Purcell, the guy from Azura, who started this discussion of change this NCND to
to
a more open one. And he actually used, what's it called, the one where you can even go and use it commercial.
Yeah, he on the instrumental one, he had the BUI. It looks like the other stuff that he has appears on the non-commercial license as well. But yeah, the instrumental one.
We haven't changed the old ones. We could do it, I guess. Yeah. Well, still, I don't know if I really like it to be that open. But, I mean, that's up to the artist. And if he wants to use it, that's fine with me.
The one thing that
it's nothing... something that I recommend in a new artist to pick that license, because can sort of end up wrong if in the future, like if someone use it and they kind of regret that, oh, like can be some misunderstandings perhaps, I don't know.
Yeah, the one thing that that made me realize that the all open one, just the attribution and share alike, was the fact that, you know, people worried about it being used commercially, but to use it commercially, they have to release it under the same license.
Well, that's the thing about this instrumentals album, is that it's just plain BY. And I think my guess is that he did that because it's just instrumentals and it's not a vocal album as well. But yeah, I mean, that was just a guess on my part. But that's, everybody sort of has their own take on the licenses. I mean, yeah, Tom and I both use the BYSA for pretty much everything without the non-commercial. Because, yeah, I think like Tom said, the beauty of that is that, you know, whatever they do, then they've got to share it again. So the big corporations are going to be sort of loath to spend all this money and then have to release it out to anybody. But, I don't know. I mean, obviously... Well, maybe not. Obviously, for people that have been listening to us for a while, on our music show, we play anything that's remixable, which is including the non-commercial stuff. So there's a lot of the back catalog with the no derivative stuff we won't play, which is a shame because the Dynamo 404 is definitely my...
I know that you have that... view of it, but many other people with podcasts, they feel like it's okay to play the NCND.
Well, yeah,
if you find a song which with that license, you can always like short mail to the artist, and they will like be more than happy. I think people are into Creative Commons, or I mean, they are just happy if someone wants to use their songs, I guess.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, we've definitely been told by people that we could play their stuff, but that's just something that we've made the decision to do, so people that listen to the shows know that, you know, they can take anything that they hear.
I know what you mean. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why we changed to this NCSA instead.
And, I don't know if this has ever come up with the non-commercial stuff, but like people playing tracks on the radio or DJs and stuff, you know, that they're playing a show and they're getting paid. And then technically speaking, they couldn't play that because they're getting paid for it. But what Headphonica did, and you guys may do something similar to this, I don't know, but they actually list on their website, you know, an additional exception that says, you know, for DJs that are playing a live show and getting paid, then it's fine for people to use this. But they make it very explicit that that's allowed. And I think that's the problem that a lot of people, you know, because like us, we're just pretty much looking over everything with the dash and D, but there's, you know, people have certain reasons for doing things and they might not necessarily think that's a problem, but the problem from our perspective, and it's not like me and Tom's perspective, but I mean the problem from like any sort of person that's trying to present music is then you have to talk to every single one of the artists. That's the, you know, if you're playing a 2-hour show or whatever, then that's a lot of artists probably.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I don't know. This is the part of the show that Tom and I always have where we try to tell people how they should do things.
I haven't said anything.
It'll come, Tom, because remember the last time you were like, no, that's all you, Doug. And then sure enough, like 5 minutes later, you were like, well, what if you did this way?
All I was going to point out was that I still think it's completely ironic that a lot of the time when we have this discussion, I have to point out, and you may notice this too, a lot of electronic and sampled Creative Commons songs are under no derivative. And I find that so strange because the song itself was usually created off of a sample or a remix of something. And I find that really odd when they get released that way. So, I don't know. That's usually just the thing that stands out to me when I see
it. That's true. Yeah.
Mm. I find that a lot. So
changes the subject just a bit. I think this got lost in sort of the intro at the very beginning, and maybe I just was spacing out. But
probably.
Where did the name 23 Seconds come from?
I've been asked that question many times before, and I wish I had a good story to tell here, but I guess the name just came up.
You should make something up, like it came to you in a dream.
I had listened to an album by The Cure called 17 Seconds a couple of days before, so I guess that could have played a role.
So subconsciously, you were naming it because of a Cure album. Sorry, I watched Inception last night, so I'm all thinking, my head's in the subconscious mode and trying to figure out what I watched last night.
Yeah, actually, it was the name of a blog that I started from the beginning, and then a couple of weeks later, I used the same name when we did this webpage. So
you originally had a blog going before you started doing this?
No, not a blog, just an ordinary blog. It's got nothing to do with the music, but
right.
It had the name 23 Seconds, and I sort of used the same name.
Was that the amount of time you were willing to spend on putting something on the blog? Is that why that was?
What?
Like, if it takes me longer than 23 seconds to write this, I'm just going to stop. Mm-hmm. Actually, that would be kind of a funny blog.
Sounds good for me, because I always spend too much time with everything.
Yeah? That's the other thing, too. A lot of people, I'm amazed at how net labels do so much that they do. It's like, God, you know, I have like one thing to do, and I get tired doing that. How do net labels, like, you know, do all this stuff, find new artists, post new things, put together compilations? I mean, seriously, where do you find the time?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Because I have some other projects as well, and I don't know. I guess I wish I had some more time. Like, sometimes you feel like you don't give the artist enough promotion. That's how I feel after every release. It's like, I wish I could do some more. You know?
Wow.
But still, yeah. I guess we help them a little. So. And normally I always tell our new artists that one of the best promotion thing is like the other artists, because if, for example, Asura will be on a blog or whatever, and then the visitors who always when we come to our site, we always like download one or two other releases. So they kind of help each other as well.
So the popularity of one artist helps out because people will go check it out and they'll go, oh, look at this other stuff that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, if you come into the site, we pick the latest releases as well.
Yeah, because I know. While going on your site, I've already checked out a bunch of different bands' websites while I was here. So, yeah. So it works, I guess. You know, it's exactly what you want.
So there's a lot of. I mean, you said you started with Dynamo, and the. But you branched out a lot. I mean, several continents are involved. Like, how many countries are on 23 Seconds? And what's sort of the most exotic place that someone has come from?
Ooh, I haven't counted them, but we have artists from all over the world, especially on our compilations.
Okay.
Because yeah, there are many artists that they don't have own releases on 23 Seconds, but they are part of different compilations. And but we have some bands from Indonesia. I don't know why they keep writing to us all the time. Like every second week, we get a new demo from Indonesia. I don't know, like many pop artists.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of stuff from Indonesia too.
I don't know many countries, but it's got to be like 10, 12, 15 maybe. But most of our artists are from, well, Sweden, of course. And then there's a couple from the UK as well. But yeah, they're spread all over the world.
Very nice, very nice. So how professional are the different musicians, and as far as like touring and things like that, do you help with promotion when they do that? Do any of the bands tour? Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the artists are playing live, not all of them, and if it's not too far, I try to go and see them, and I've been away and seen several of our bands, and many of them are like really, really good, acting very professional. Emerald Park, for example, and Adam and Alma, Henrik Chausse. So, yeah, some of them are not playing. We're not out on tour, of course, but we play on different places, so which is kind of funny. But it's nothing that we are involved in.
Have you gone down to Indonesia to see any of the bands?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
No, but I've been in... I went to Berlin, 2 years ago, perhaps, and nice. To the Net Audio Festival. None of the bands from 23 Seconds played, but there were a band called Tracing Arcs that I really, really liked them, and had a talk with them after the concert. And like a year later, he wrote a mail and said, hi, remember me? We have a release here we want to put on 23 Seconds. So. It's kind of funny. But it was really nice to go down and see all those net label artists and open-minded people. Like I met a lot of people who, I knew about them on the internet, but it was fun.
Now, you said...
They have it every second year in Berlin and every second year in London. So.
The net...
it's a net audio festival. Yeah.
Net audio festival. So is a festival of net labels, or I mean, like, what is the net aspect of it?
Well, net audio. We often use the word net audio when it comes to artists on net labels and Creative Commons artists, and we call it net. It is banned from net labels and sort of underground artists, I guess, as well. And
that's really cool. Who organizes this?
I don't know. It's
you just show up and it's happening.
It is some kind of organization, but I mean, I guess it's people from net labels, German net labels.
You said it's in Berlin.
In Berlin, yes.
There's a big. I don't know. You know what all is in Berlin, but they have like the Open Knowledge Foundation. There's sort of a big openness scene in Berlin. So I don't know if all of those things are connected or if it's just sort of the way the city is in that there's a lot of stuff like that. But
yeah, I mean, it's a big city and no, I don't know who started this thing. But yeah, it's there's something special with Germany when it comes to net label artists and net labels. I mean, there are a huge numbers of labels and artists and also some of my favorites. And yeah, a lot of people doing radio programs with a focus on net label and Creative Commons.
Very now, cool.
Mel, when you were saying that the countries that you represent, and I know that you said a lot of the stuff that you do is from Sweden and Europe, and so because of that, I mean, getting a lot of stuff coming from that region. Do you feel that there's a good Creative Commons culture in, like, basically, you know, kind of licensing your own music kind of culture in your area?
Like, it's kind of hard to answer that one because you always, like, it's you're on the internet and, like, so connected to the internet that you don't really think in terms of language countries and but. What I do know is that it used to be I know that it is a big problem for, let's say, bigger artists that are normally you do copyrighted music. We have something called STIM here in Sweden. I guess you have something called ASCAP or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And in Germany, we have GEMA, it's called. G-E-M-A. And... like you want to actually, if you, well, you want to actually allowed to if you are connected to this STIM, you couldn't technically you couldn't release music under Creative Commons because the rules were kind of, but they changed that last year, I think. And there's a guy from Germany who wrote to me about this. He did a program about the problems in Germany for artists that are on traditional labels releasing copyrighted music and are sort of connected to the GEMA there. And but you have the same in...
we do. Same we do, but...
I guess you can do it, but it could also... And you could end up in problem.
Yeah.
I don't say you do, but it could end up in problem. And,
well, and I hear
some of our artists are both. They are connected to STIM and also release music under Creative Commons. So,
oh, really? You mean on your website itself, on your net label?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. There are bands that are connected to this STIM.
How do you spell that?
STIMM.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've heard recently, or isn't it that GEMA is actually doing something even more extreme, or like they're going through some sort of movement in Germany right now that's actually causing problems, like more so than they did before?
Yeah, I think they're a bit aggressive. I don't know, I haven't read that much about it, but like I got this mail 2 months ago, perhaps. Was a guy asking about how it worked here in Sweden since we have changed the rules here. So nowadays you are actually allowed to use both. I mean, you can release stuff for free under Creative Commons and you can still, like, your next album can be copyrighted and connected to STIM. Which is, it's all other things sounds really, really weird, if you ask me. I mean, it's got to be up to the artist what they want to do with every single release, especially nowadays when, I mean, many bands put up a free EP on a, even if they don't use Creative Commons, but still they put it up for free and like saying, hey, spread this to your friends. Hmm. So it's sort of the same thing, but even if they don't use Creative Commons. So, yeah.
Wow, how did that come about that that was changed recently?
I don't know. I guess there must have been artists that complain about it. Otherwise, they wouldn't change it. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Mm. So
we this is changing the subject.
I must say, for example, we have a band called Lemur Park. They first release. Normally, they have released an album. Like you have to pay for it, and you can buy the CD, and then afterwards they release it on our site with some bonus tracks. You can get it for free under Creative Commons. So they sort of combine the both sides.
Okay, I just wanted to toss this in here, and I don't want to have a big long discussion. I mean, unless either of you want to have a big long discussion, but a lot of the sort of brouhaha about the Pirate Bay has sort of, well, the brouhaha no longer exists. But I think we would be remiss if we didn't ask, you know, from the Swedish context, sort of how the Pirate Bay, you know, what influence it has had on the music scene in there, and I guess net labels in particular.
It's had a huge impact, of course, perhaps not on the net label, but on the music scene in general. I mean, it changed people's behavior. But nowadays it's not the same any longer, because we have Spotify, and I don't have one friend that don't use Spotify. So you don't have it.
No, we don't have it here.
No,
we have Last FM, which is similar.
No, not really.
No, it's not actually the same at all. I would say
it's more. It's more like Groove Shark.
Spotify is like, if you type in a band, then the album comes up, and you just press play, and which song you want, and you can like do your own. You can mix it with your own playlist and send to friends, and yeah, you can listen to the albums. And there are two options: one where you get commercials, and one where you don't.
Oh, really? That I didn't know.
Yeah, so it's free, but if you pay like it's €10, about €10, then like you can play it as much as you want to.
We do have
actually, they changed the rules now. If you don't pay, it used to be commercial, but nowadays it's also that you can only listen for, I don't know how many hours it is, but it's like there's a maximum of how much you can listen. And that's because of the companies. Now when we're going to release it in the United States, they had to do with harder rules, I guess. So, but I would say Spotify is like, that's, or related upcoming sites. But that's how you will listen to music in the future. So our MP3 thing is sort of, well, it's on a dead-end street in one way. I mean, you would... In the future, you will stream the music, I'm quite sure.
So are you a fan of Spotify or not?
Yeah. I think it's really, really great.
But you don't have artists don't have the ability to upload their music to it, though, do they?
No, you have to go through a label.
Okay.
And some label have their music there, some don't. So.
See, I think that would be a huge factor. If you were able to do that, because I know that the version that we do have over here, which is Groove Shark, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one.
Yeah.
That one actually gives you the ability to upload your own art. You can actually create an artist profile and upload your music, and it gets added to their library.
But Groove Shark is different because Spotify is, from the beginning, it's they have all the big fives with them when they released it.
That is true, yes.
Like, they don't, there's no one who get, as far as I know, no one gets paid from Groove Shark because it's sort of a...
Well, they built it and said, okay, now come on over here, look at what we made. Do you want to be part of this? It's kind of like what they did to the labels, because they are going through litigation and having problems. But I love the fact that, and this is probably why, like I was saying before, over here ASCAP isn't exactly the same, because in the meantime, while they're doing this, they're still up and running, even though somebody's trying to shut them down. They're like, oh, okay, well, we'll keep doing this until you figure out what you want to do to us.
Yeah.
Which is a very interesting approach.
But yeah, Grooveshark and Spotify, it's sort of the same. It's about streaming music. And I guess they don't get much paid on Spotify, but still, it's better than people downloading it from Pirate Bay or something. So
yeah,
I guess they don't have a choice. So they have to like accept the situation.
And that's what everybody's saying, is it's like, you know what, you can keep fighting it and they're going to find new ways to do it. So you need to adapt sometime. You know, the old model is dead and all that kind of stuff.
True.
Now, in the, doing 23 seconds, and like how I said that, how do you have the time from all the stuff that you do? But here's another thing. Is there any other projects that you do? Is there any other sort of things that you do on the side from this on the side project that you have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. Well, I have a lot of projects. I'm very into photo and film.
Okay.
For example, I've been when I was in Berlin, the NetAudio Festival. I took a lot of video footage, and I've been around and doing some interviews with artists.
Oh, cool.
That release music. So, but it takes a lot of time. But hopefully, I will put something together and like a documentary about net label artists in the future.
Ooh.
But
do you release the photography under a Creative Commons license, or
actually I haven't put up my photos in that way. I have some, and then yes,
you actually do the you actually do physical photography, like physical printing of the photography.
Well, I used to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but not so very often now.
Yeah, that film thing sounds cool. I'd like to see that when you when you put that together.
Yeah. Well, actually, when we started, I don't think I said that, but from the beginning, it was supposed to be like painters and writers and filmmakers as well. It wasn't supposed to be a music site, but it kind of ended up with... But if you look at the release page, you will see that we have we actually have a short film that we released, and we also have some music videos. I wish there were more of this. Perhaps in the future, maybe.
Yeah, for anybody who's going to check it out on the site, the artist is Daniel Hansen. You can just search the page for film, and it's the only time that place that it pops up. Mm. But
I was searching for that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Oh, is it really?
Ah. And then the videos are just, there's a link up at the top on the navigation, home, news, releases, artists, resources, and then videos is on the other side of the turntable. All by itself.
And I see he did it in 3D. Do you know what, or in CGI? Do you know what he used to make it?
No, I only know that it took a long time for him to do it. Like, and he, I don't know how he did it, but I guess he would have done it in another way today. It is a couple of years old. So
okay. Oh yeah, 2007.
And I think the film was like 2 years old then, so...
Oh, really? Yeah, that would be the takes a long time to make part, I would assume. Yeah, it can be time-consuming.
Then, I have several other projects. I have a website about the area where I live.
Cool.
Where we write about restaurants and concerts and...
Hmm.
Various stuff. It's called Majurna.
Majurna?
Majorna.
Hmm.
I guess if you Google that one, we will probably be on top. And that takes a lot of time as well.
So I see that I'm looking at the release page, and then one of the films, there's also a, I guess, I don't know if it's a sound, well, maybe it's not a film. One of the videos I was looking at, the name caught my eye, Zero Musicians, because I was like, huh, does this mean like it's a music
video? No, that's
video
just a YouTube. No, it's just a YouTube video.
Okay, but the reason that I brought it up is because the album is not released under Creative Commons.
No.
That's like the
only one.
Yeah.
Yes, we wouldn't, if today we wouldn't have released it.
Mm.
I don't know why. No, not a real story, but I guess it didn't answer the, when I mentioned the Creative Commons thing, he didn't mention it in his answer, and I was like, well, we can't put it on Creative Commons if he hadn't said yes. So
yeah.
But today I would have asked him in another way, I guess, and otherwise we wouldn't have released it.
Mm.
I guess this Creative Commons thing has kind of grew in my mind during the years as well. From the beginning, it was more like, oh yeah, we have Creative Commons, but it's nothing I really... I didn't think that much about it. But today it's more
That's a common theme, I would say, Tom. Wouldn't you say that, that people sort of... I mean, we got that with Dave and Caroline, and just in general, people seem to be sort of tentative. I mean, you had that with Lorenzo's music, right, Tom? I mean,
mm-hmm.
sort of getting your toes wet, and then you're like, okay, this is fine. We can go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that it just... on first hearing about it, it makes it sound like to people going into it, like, what are you saying you want me to do with this? You want me to just, anybody can have this? And then, you instantly think like, oh, I'm never going to make any money. I'm not going to be able to do anything with it. It's instantly your mind just kind of goes to what's wrong with this? Why would I be doing this? But then after trying it out, it's kind of like anything. Once you try it, you kind of get it. And then you're like, okay, and you make your decision on whether or not it's for you, essentially. I don't know. I think it's just the fear, the fear of jumping. Kind of like you don't know what's going to happen after you do it. Like, am I going to land in a, big ocean, or am I going to break my legs? I don't know why that imagery was in my head. I'm telling you, that Inception movie messed with my head, and it's kind of ticking me off. I don't know if either of you have seen it.
I have not.
No.
Anything that looks like it's going to be, like, weird and trippy like that, like I usually try to stay away from it, because I don't want the after effects. So
that's what it's done. But of course, I watched it right before I went to bed, so it's still kind of in my head.
Yeah.
That and the fact that I don't think Ellen Page needed to be in the movie, but that's a different thing entirely. I don't know. Okay, getting back on track here now. Speaking of what we were just talking about with the whole, artists coming in, like when you talk to these bands, are there some where you have to kind of change their mind or kind of go, they weren't even thinking about it, and you're like, I'd like to release it this way. And then having to explain to it, like, what's your elevator pitch for how do you,
you mean with Creative Commons?
Yeah. Telling an artist like this is one reason why you would want to do it.
Well, if it's a new artist, I always write some short infos about Creative Commons, and if we haven't heard of it before, we can always get back with questions, or I also put some links. But normally there haven't been any problems yet, and it's like it's been okay with all our artists, and I guess they kind of see it before they write to us that, oh, what is, if they don't know what Creative Commons is, they will, like, if they look at the page, it's like you can't miss it, so.
Right.
No, but it works good.
Yeah.
And I think today there are more people that have heard about it. Even if it's still very common, but like if I ask someone on the street what is Creative Commons, many will probably say, oh, I don't know.
I just got this image of you walking down the street grabbing people going, what is Creative Commons?
I had that conversation yesterday with somebody just a little bit. I meant to actually tell you. Well, I did actually. I posted that. I don't know if you saw it, Tom, but I was like, just talk to somebody at work about Lorenzo's music.
Oh, no.
And they were like, what's Creative Commons? So I was was like, well, I didn't really talk too long to him because I was in the middle of doing something, but I did give him a, did talk to him for a little bit about it.
Huh.
But so we know that this is a hobby for you, but are any of the bands sort of producing music full time? Like that's their job? Any of the bands that are on the label?
No, I wouldn't say that our bands have it like a full-time job or even part-time job. No.
Cool. Yeah, I think that would be the common answer for most bands.
It is very hard. Yeah. Even though I have friends that makes music for a living, when we are like on. They're not on 24 seconds then, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was one thing that Claudio from Bad Panda, that he really wanted to sort of like really get out there, you know, and do tours. And he was very ambitious about his net labelness, or I guess sort of going from being a net label to a real label, if you want, or, you know, whatever. I mean, didn't you get that impression, Tom?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's at the time, that was when he was in the process of getting ready to promote Dumbo Gets Mad.
And the only other time that we've really had anybody that wanted it to be full-time or was really sort of ambitious, I mean, Isaac Graham, I think, sort of was wishy-washy about it, but he was sort of at a crossroads having just graduated. But then David Rovics, who... we just interviewed all the days. Was it just last week, Tom?
No, it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I've been on a plane too much recently. But it was just released last weekend. Right. But he's the only one who's been full time, and he tours all over the place. I mean, he's been in your neck of the woods not too long ago, Johan. So, but yeah, that seems to be, I don't know, a common thing, which is interesting. And I wonder if the people that really want to do it full time, they're just not interested in Creative Commons for the most part, or
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah,
because I mean, today many artists starting with putting up an EP or something on SoundCloud or something, which is, I wouldn't say the same thing, but like they hope that it will be spread in the blog world, and like people write about it, and like, yeah, you know, one tells the other, and like that's how you have to start today, by giving it away for free and like see what happens. So, but I think many hobby artists, of course, they want to make some money.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to be, well, first of all, you have to be really good, but I guess you have to sit down and try to figure out how am I going to do it, or what. It's hard.
Yeah.
But it is possible. So,
and I would say, yeah, if any artist would love to do what they do for a living.
Well,
I mean,
that,
except
Tom.
For Cloud Kicker, but
yeah, I was gonna say, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Well,
he's like the only person I know who's like, no, I don't really want to do this. I just do this for fun. And yeah. Like the only person I've run into that's like, no, I don't really want to get any more success than I already have. And I found that very interesting as a reaction.
But I do think there's a lot of people who know the work that it would take to get there, and are, they're unwilling to do that, and not sort of a I'm going to try to do it and then it fails sort of way, but in a very sort of precise, calculated, I know what it takes, I don't want to do that, I'm going to keep my day job. And
help.
So there's this sort of like acceptance of, I mean, I don't think, Tom, and correct me if you're wrong, that you have great ambitions with Lorenzo's music. I mean, you guys don't tour or anything. It seems like you guys are just sort of doing it, right?
Yeah, I'd do it for the hours alone. Just
right,
not having to wake,
I mean,
up in the morning.
but are you willing to, like, you know, be away from the family and, you know, to put that time in?
If that was
right?
The approach that I was going to take for it, I mean, that doesn't even necessarily mean that I'd have to go that route, you know. I mean, there's also...
You're going to start your solo career?
No, I'm just saying, like, touring and all that kind of stuff isn't even with the internet. And I mean, like Johan had said earlier, the internet, you don't even necessarily have to leave to do that stuff. You could be doing films and you could be adding your music to other things, writing things for, you know, whatever.
That's true.
So there are other venues that you could approach.
I guess I'm thinking about the one example of somebody doing Creative Commons and doing it for their living is someone who tours the globe. But I'm sure other business models are available.
Yeah. Darn right.
Well, so that was kind of heavy, briefly. Let's talk about something not so heavy. Let's talk about your favorite bands and artists and genres. We know that you're doing sort of electronic pop for the most part with 23 Seconds. But what are some of the big names, Creative Commons or otherwise, that in the playlist?
Well, I listen a lot of music.
Like, we all?
All the time. So, and not always been, I guess, the best. I have a Last FM account, which kind of helped me nowadays when to keep me to remember what I'm listening to. Like before, I had a huge record collection. That's an old album I forgot about, but now it's like I go into Lost FM. Oh, I've been listening 200 songs by that artist. How comes that? Must be good. Like,
I think it keeps you honest. It keeps you from being like, oh, this is my favorite band, and then you realize that you've only listened to them for like 20 times. And it's like, okay. Well, I'm into them right now, but
yeah. No, but do you ask for bands or? Genres,
yeah.
All
of it.
I guess 23 Seconds is sort of a mirror. I guess that's why we have so many different genres, because that's how both me and Jesper listen to music. When we're listening to music, we listen to like pop and rock and hip hop, techno. So it's. I guess since we listen to such a different bands, we also release. All this, I mean, goes from wimp twee pop to hip hop, and but I guess I'm a indie kid.
Yeah.
Who grew up with the British indie scene in the 90s, early 90s, and late 80s.
Well, toss out a band so if people want to, they don't want to bother with downloading stuff because they're lazy. Give them something to be like, all right, this is what this guy likes. This is what I'm going to compare it to, something that I know.
But I like.
Yeah, because you said that 23 Seconds is a mirror. So what are they going to get?
I wouldn't say that it's a mirror of our favorite bands.
All right, what are they not going to get?
They're not going to get Smiths or Depeche Mode or, any of my favorite bands, but I think we have some good artists as well. But the best way if you most listening artist is M83, and now it's Pink's Haunted Graffiti the last years.
Yeah, I guess I could have just gone to your classic page and read it to you. This is actually what you like. If you're not going to answer my question, I'm not
free. It's hard. I would say Depeche Mode. That's my favorite band of all time.
Very nice.
And you said the Smiths too. Did you? Wasn't there a thing recently? Like Morrissey just recently said something about the Queen of England that he was catching a lot of flack for. I swear, I just read something. I want to say it was in the Mirror or something.
I don't listen to what he's saying any longer. So
it's very. That's probably a good thing. So one of the questions we like to ask people, and this is how we get to other people that we interview. And meet other people, is we like to say, do you know anybody that we should try to interview that you think would be good for us to talk to that's involved in the Creative Commons community today?
I will first mention my favorite Creative Commons band, which is a band called Entertainment for the Brain Dead.
Oh, yeah. I like one of their tracks. It's a good track.
They have released music on a label called R Records and also on a label called Aerotone. Two German labels.
Hmm.
So, sorry, what was the question?
Just people you think that we could might be interested in talking to.
Oh, there's lots of them, but I would say perhaps Christian Grasse. Christian Grasse. He's one of the guys who runs our records, and he also have a radio show called Frequency, and he's like, he's very into to this scene, which is what you say.
Okay.
And I'm kind of curious about there's a guy called, I think it's called El Dino. It's an Italian blogger who is said to have the world's largest net label collection.
Like, really?
He has like a, you can see on his blog. You see if I can find it here. I think it's like 700 gigabytes of net label music. See. Yeah, here it is. No. Well, he's called El Dino. I will find
it. Is that ELDINO?
Yeah.
Eldino.wordpress.com.
Let's see here.
Woohoo. Looks.
Ah, here it is. It's a WordPress blog, yeah.
Okay.
He's
even got a section called "How to Open a Net Label."
My net label music meter. Yeah, you can see it's eldino@wordpress.com, where you can follow his net label music meter. Now he has 688 gigabytes of. I guess it's mainly Creative Commons music. So. No, but that there are a lot of people, but I will. There's a guy called Thomas Raukamp. It's a German journalist. He's very into Creative Commons and net audio music as well.
So this is totally random, except that you said gigabytes slightly differently than we would. I know the G's in Swedish are soft, and you didn't do that. You pronounce it like. More like we probably would a J. But how would you say that in Swedish? Or would you use the word gigabytes, or would you use a different word?
Gigabyte.
I was just just curious, because I noticed, too, that you said that you say Gothenburg, which is the English way of doing things as well. And some people pronounce the last G in Jönberg like with a Y, and some people seem to just leave it off. What's the right way to do that so I don't sound like an idiot?
If you pronounce our city,
yeah.
Well, we would say Göteborg.
Yeah. So there is sort of the G is sort of its own little syllable there at the end, soft little.
Göteborg.
Maybe it's just coming off of it. I don't know. Some people really make that a last syllable, and some people sort of like tail off and don't. Anyway, it's not important. But.
That's right. I forgot that you were trying to teach yourself Swedish.
Well, I haven't been recently, but I was.
You used to. I remember you had your computer set so that everything on it was in Swedish. So that way you were forced to learn what the words were.
Yeah,
I remember that. That was an annoying time.
I was in Sweden a couple of years ago. So
right.
Yeah. Down the road from you.
Where did you go then?
When?
Where did you?
Where? I was in Malmo and I was in Gothenburg for a while, and in Stockholm. I was actually at the under-21 European Championship when they were there. I saw the Sweden-Serbia game, but that was the only one we got to see when we were. Because we were hopping around the country trying to see as much as we could. But nice place. I'd really love to go back. It's expensive to get over there, though.
Yeah.
Long plane flight.
Bit expensive to be here as well, I think.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, that's not that huge of a deal. I mean, it's the $2,000 it takes to get there in the first place. That's a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, in that sense, it's probably not much different than going to, like, New York City or something like that. You know, I mean, whatever, you pay a little bit more for your food. Not going to break the bank.
No. Well,
here's that point where we are suddenly just talking about other things in the show.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that we'll wind things down here with like to ask your last question, Johan. Is there anybody you'd like to say hi to or anything you'd like to tell the listeners about or before we wrap up the show today?
Oh, no, I will just want to say thank you for wanting me to be part of the show.
You're welcome. I think this has got to be our longest sort of, trying to point, because I started talking to you, the last email I found was like last September, and I don't even know if that was the first.
Well, it's true. I don't know what happened.
So, well, you got busy with something. I don't remember what, but.
And then
so
when we finally got you, I overslept.
Yeah.
Yeah. And missed the entire thing.
Today is a big day, and we finally got this podcast on.
That's true. That's true. We got you on, and we were happy to have you here. So that was everyone. This is Johan London, I believe it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Johan London of 23 Seconds, and you can go to 23 Seconds on the internet and find tons of Creative Commons music and
23seconds.org.
23seconds.org. Thank you. I closed the window, so I wasn't sure if it was .com or .org. So here I was trying to, play it cool, but instead, as usual, Doug pointed out that I didn't know what I was saying.
I told you my experience with Dick's Sporting Goods, though.
That's true. That's true. Because you never know what's going to come
up. It's very important that you're precise about
that. Well, that's why I didn't just guess and say .com. you can always just search for 23 Seconds net label on the web. But thank you for being here with us, and this has been another Music Manumit at musicmanumit.com.